Productions.
In association with the British Broadcasting Company presents The Mandrake Connection, starring Richard Johnson as the Digby Spode and Royce Mills as Hubert Carstairs. At Spode Towers, Angela Down as Lady Gwendolyn, Jeffrey Belden as Badger. At the Chelsea Flower Show, Arnold Diamond as Pringle, David Goff as Caretaker. On the Isle of Grog, Philip Voss as Bruno Kramsky and Stephen Greif as Count Laszlo Stroganoff. Introducing P. Bassett Davis as the Quivering Scotsman with a special box around the name of Roy Kinnear as Archie McLooney. The Mandrake Connection is written by Paul B. Davis and John G. Colley. Produced by Hiram X. Chuzzlewit and directed by Sutherland A. Nixon. Rogue Mail, The Mandrake Connection.
Diary of Sir Digby Spode, June 21st, 1935. The record-breaking summer continues. How glorious to sit in the conservatory with the French windows flung aside, agreeably lulled by the patches of dappled sunlight upon the rolling lawn, the distant cry of the frolicsome pipit, and the reassuring squelch of Badger cleaning out the septic tank. When I suggested to Carstairs, however, that he assist me in scouring the gargoyles, he quickly developed an overwhelming desire to accompany Lady Gwendolyn to the Chelsea Flower Show. Glancing at my chronometer, I see that Badger has been submerged in the septic tank for 40 minutes, and it is high time he winched himself up. Ah, even as I write, his bizarre figure approaches the French windows, trailing long strands of green slime from the apertures of his makeshift diving outfit. Badger, time to get yourself out of that apparatus and prepare lunch.
Very good, sir.
My wife and Carstairs will have caught the 11:30 from Paddington, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least if Lady Gwendolyn has purchased a huge crate of giant pansies for the rockery. In all probability, she has persuaded Carstairs to carry it all the way home, and he will come staggering breathlessly through the door with it just about. Now.
Remarkable, sir. How were you able to deduce all that?
It's been the same every year since 1930.
Put it down here, Mr. Carstairs. Jolly good.
Digby,
darling. Digger. Yes, sir. Darling, help me open this crate, will you? I can't wait to get them planted.
Give us a hand, Carstairs.
Yes. What was that noise from inside the crate?
Stand back. Stand back, you two.
Well, you're going to open it, old man?
Yes, very carefully. I'll just prise the lid off. Well, that's one nail out. Well,
perhaps you should use the crowbar, old boy. That must be murder on your teeth.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Here goes. Stand well back. This, Mummy, is, was, a deadly blue mamba snake.
Oh, how right.
Perfectly safe, my dear. I blown its head off.
So I see. It's the stain on the carpet that's frightful.
It couldn't be helped. Badger.
Yes, sir.
Get rid of the snake, will you, Badger?
Yes, sir.
Don't forget to wash your hands before you cut the cucumber.
Very good, sir.
I said, look, Spode, these plants in here aren't pansies.
Right. They're more like huge orchids.
Yes.
Gwendolyn, where exactly did you get this crate?
Well, from such a funny little man at the flower show. Wasn't he funny, Mr. Carstairs?
Yeah, he was funny. Name of Pringle, I believe.
Obviously, he's given us the wrong crate. He did seem very confused. He said he was only looking after the stall for someone else. I do hope he doesn't get into trouble.
You fool, Pringle. You senile nincompoop. I told you not to sell anything.
Oh, stop, Mr. Kransky. You've no idea how much that cactus hurts.
Bah, this is nothing.
Oh, couldn't I just kill myself now?
Certainly not. You know very well that we need you at the front for our operation.
Oh.
Besides, you will have to help me recover that crate today. Now, give me that card and let me see who bought it.
Yes, here it is.
Now, let me see that address. Ah, very interesting. Sir Digby Spode, Spode Towers, Lower Liebling, Wiltshire. It will not be as easy to get that crate back as I thought.
Why, surely you're not afraid of this Spode person, Mr. Kransky?
Of course not. But the trains to Lower Liebling are most infrequent. I will assume one of my impenetrable disguises. Spode may have guessed too much already.
Well, I'm completely stumped. There's nothing at all in the Encyclopedia Britannica that remotely resembles these plants.
I can't find any references in my horticultural literature.
And there's nothing in this week's Look and Learn either.
That snake in there was no accident. There's something very wrong here. I'm beginning to perceive the hand of an international master criminal behind this. Cassette, I think it's time we went into the village and paid a call on the vicar.
Yeah, well, what? Do you mean the vicar of Lower Wibbling is an international master criminal?
Oh, no, Castiers. He's a keen amateur botanist. He may be able to identify these plants for us.
Oh, I see.
Come along, then. We'll be back soon, Gwendolyn. Meanwhile, stay put and be careful.
I will, Diggers. Now, how am I going to get rid of this stain on the carpet? Oh, rat. Who can that be? Yes? Can I help you?
Ah, yes. Good afternoon. Jolly good show and all that, my dear missus. My name is Witherington Hume Smythe. I'm an English gentleman of private means, employed by the Museum of Historical Naturalism.
Do you mean the Natural History Museum?
Absolutely so. You've hit the nail on the point.
Are you sure you're English?
Oh, my goodness me, yes. Bless my muffins. Now then. I happened to be in the local district, and I was wondering if you happen to have any rare botanical specimens which I might take with me and examine.
No, I have not. And what's more, I think you're completely bogus.
Damn. In that case, I will take you as well.
Oh, help! Let me go, you spine!
Certainly not. Oh, Pringle, get in there, no. Quickly. Find the crate and bring it out to the pump. Take the pump. And hurry. Both could return any minute.
Gwendolyn! Oh, he must be in the kitchen.
Oh. The vicar wasn't much help, was he? Perhaps he was cross with us for interrupting him.
Now, just a moment, Charles. The vicar is responsible for the emerging young manhood of Lower Wibbling.
Yeah, well, I must say, their uniforms were most unconventional.
Well, the scouting movement has changed since our day, Charles. And at least the vicar was able to tell us that those plants are probably some species of giant mandrake.
I say, Spode... I didn't think it mattered what they were. Oh, they're not here anymore.
What?
Ah, I can't tell right. And look, there's signs of a struggle. I don't like the look at this.
Gwendolyn! Gwendolyn! Mummy!
The badger!
Yes, sir, you called.
Yes, what's been going on here, Badger?
I'm afraid I've no idea, sir. I've been feeding the fish for the last half an hour.
Didn't you hear anything?
I was wearing me earmuffs, sir, as a consequence of one of the carp giving me a nasty nip last week.
Very well, that'll be all.
Very good, sir. No trouble, I hope, sir.
My wife appears to have been kidnapped, Badger.
Does that mean one less for dinner, sir?
It means no dinner at all, Badger. We shall be out searching for her.
Very good, sir.
Look, over here, sir, by the door. Some earth has been spilled from one of the pots, and there's a footprint in it.
I recognize that footprint. It's Bruno Kransky.
Aye. The demented thug who works for Count Laszlo Stroganov.
The very same.
How do you know?
No one else in Europe wears size 18s with a compass in the heel. Right, Castells. There's only one place to pick up the trail at the Chelsea Flower Show. Come on.
No time to lose.
Here. Hang on, gents. Flower show's closed for the day. Sorry.
Yes, I know. But we desperately need some information. My wife has been kidnapped by an international master criminal bent on some unimaginable scheme of global depravity.
Oh, yes. I've heard that one before.
Now, look here, my man. What do you know about some people who have a stall here calling themselves Snell and Curmudgeon, horticulturalists to the gentry?
Well, sir, as I'm only the caretaker here, there's not a lot I can tell you about that. Except that every day a sinister foreign gentleman named Kransky used to visit the stall, but I've no idea why.
Damned pity.
Unless it was something to do with a crate of plants what he collected and took away with him on every visit. But where he took them, I've no idea.
Kells barrels!
Although, I did notice that the labels on the crates was addressed to the Isle of Grog, Scotland. and I happen to know that the Isle of Grog is one of them uninhibited islands off the west coast of Scotland, what is unnaturally warm and lush on account of it being in the Gulf Stream. And I have noticed over the last couple of years that the climate has changed ever so slightly, stimulating an increased growth in the tropical plants here at the Flower Show. And it's my guess that someone is messing about with the flow of the Gulf Stream using vast quantities of exotic tropical foliage to unbalance the biosphere and gradually manipulating the weather for their own devious purposes.
I see.
Apart from that, sir, there's not a lot I can tell you.
Well, you've been most helpful.
What? Sixpence, what a gent.
Now, Costas, to Euston Station for the night sleeper to Inverness.
I can't possibly do that, Spode.
Why not?
Well, but I haven't got my pyjamas.
Come along now, it's not very far to Scotland. I only hope that Mummy, Lady Gwendolyn is safe. God knows what kind of despicable outrage she's been subjected to.
I can assure you that sucking my toes like that leaves me completely cold, particularly as we've not been introduced.
My dear lady. I was simply employing an ancient Tibetan technique for reviving the victims of concussion. I'm afraid Kransky was obliged to knock you out. Allow me to introduce myself. Count Laszlo Stroganov, at your service.
Stroganov? My husband has spoken of you.
But naturally, Lady Gwendolyn, I presume he spoke of the brilliant criminal mind which has made me such a formidable adversary.
But I'm confusing you with someone else. Where exactly am I?
Aboard my private seaplane, headed for Scotland. It is the latest word in airborne luxury. What do you think?
I find it rather cramped. Oh. Was it really necessary to squeeze in all these seats?
But look at the little illuminated panel saying, no smoking, and these handy trays upon which to eat one's meals. And best of all, salt and pepper provided in tiny individual cylindrical paper wrappers.
It'll never catch on.
You disappoint me, Lady Gwendolyn. I thought that a woman of your beauty and intelligence could share my vision of the future.
I'm perfectly happy with my husband, thank you.
But why? He's such a cold fish, so correct, so British.
Exactly. He's a gentleman.
Always that damned word. What is a gentleman? I have power, wealth, brilliance, style, education. I was even at Cambridge with your blasted husband. Why am I not a so-called gentleman?
You're drinking your tea from your saucer.
Oh, enough of this foolishness. If you persist in this attitude, you will suffer the consequences.
Digby will find me. I expect he's on our trail at this very moment.
As it happens, you're absolutely correct. He and the laughable Carstairs have just boarded a train for Scotland. But they will never reach their destination. Bruno Kransky is also on that train, and he has instructions to arrange for an unscheduled halt in their journey.
I'm sorry, madam. I didn't see your little boy.
Nearly cost
no damage, I trust.
Excuse me, are these seats taken?
Come in, to be sure. Bless you, my son.
Thank you very much. Church water. That is Dario Padre, a vicar, or is it father?
Yes, it's Father O'Flammable at your service. From the little Irish town of Killyquaintly. But Jesus, to be sure.
Very kind of you. Tell me, Father, I'm intrigued by your accent. Where exactly is the little town of Killyquaintly?
It's about 50 miles west of Tralee.
West of Tralee? Fascinating. That would put you right in the Atlantic Ocean. Stay exactly where you are.
What is the meaning of this outrage? And all. Spode, have you lost your mind? Pulling a revolver on a man of the cloth?
It was the cloth, Carstairs, that first aroused my suspicions. I'd recognize that fine black herringbone anywhere. It's only available from Goldstein and Cohen and Savile Row. Quite out of the question for an Irish Catholic priest.
Very clever, Mr. Spode.
And I believe that if we remove these bright red whiskers and the false nose and peel off these latex warts, we expose the unsavory countenance of master of disguise, Bruno Kransky.
Revolting.
Quite so, Mr. Spode. But all your penetrating deductive powers will do you no good at all. My men are watching the station at Inverness and will seize you the moment that you attempt to leave the train.
Aren't you forgetting, Kransky, that we have you as a hostage?
You have me, Spode, but not for long! No. Tunnel. I've got him.
It's me, you fool. Let go.
Oh, sorry, Spode. Full speed! Look out! The door's wide open. No, I tried to close it.
They're coming in today, like Spode. Good Lord. He's gone.
Yes. He must have jumped out in the tunnel.
But that's insane. A jump like that would kill a man.
It would kill him, yes. If he was a man.
You don't mean he's a...
Yes. A woman? No, Carstairs. I mean that Bruno Kransky is more like an animal than a man. A vicious psychopath with a strength of 10.
Oh, I see.
And now we must prepare to get off this train before it reaches Inverness.
Yeah, well, perhaps if we pull the communication board.
Another question, Carstairs. Far too dangerous.
Really? Why?
I haven't got enough money for the fine. Yeah. No. I believe that we are approaching the fourth bridge. And if my calculations are correct, we should be able to leave the train just as we slow down in the middle.
What? Jump out on the bridge? Are you mad, Spode?
Certainly not. Ah. Here's the bridge. Now then, I'll just open the door. Get ready.
I am not going to jump off this train.
That's all right, Carstairs. You won't have to.
I won't?
No, I'm going to push you.
Hold still!
Are you all right, Carstairs?
Oh, yes, I appear to be. Where the devil are we?
We're in a small gondola, Carstairs.
Well, how the heck do we get to Venice?
A gondola, Carstairs, or gondola, is also the name given to this small basket-like construction in which we are standing. It is used by the people who paint the fourth bridge, which is directly above us, as you can see.
So it is, but... How on earth did you know that the basket would be in exactly this position when we jumped from the train?
I happen to know the dates upon which the teams of painters begin to work their way along the bridge and the rate at which they advance. It was a simple matter to estimate the position of the gondola, or gondola, calculate the speed of the train by counting the telegraph poles, and leap out at precisely the correct moment.
Well, how do we get out of the blasted thing?
Tell me, Carstairs. Did you do much high diving at your school?
Not at all, as a matter of fact. Why do you ask? Oh, no, Spode. Absolutely not.
Good grief. There's some sort of outlandish flying machine hovering some 200 yards to starboard.
What a bizarre contraption. I've never seen an aircraft with a propeller on top before.
It seems to be made entirely of wood.
There's someone sitting inside. Some maniac in a kilt and tartan galoshes.
Hello there! Are you scared for a wee tour de bruise?
I'm not sure.
You want a lift?
That would be very handy.
I'll throw you the rope ladder! Dad!
Got it. You go on first, Carstairs. I'm right behind you. Right. Careful.
Oh, well, I'm here. Here we are.
Hello! I'm pleased to meet you. My name's Archie McLooney.
I'm Sir Digby Spode. He's Carstairs.
It should take every pocket.
This is an extraordinary machine. I've never seen anything like it.
It's my own invention. I call it a heli-cranky. It's kept aloft for the principle of rotation.
So I noticed. But wouldn't it perhaps be better if the propeller rotated and the aircraft remained still?
I'm working on that. I've not got any wee problems, I in doubt yet. Tis mach, machly dooly, there's no gribble, as we see.
How very true. Mm-hmm. What exactly do you use this aircraft for?
Crop spray, man. I've invented a powerful pesticide which I carry in tanks at the back.
And does it work on the pests?
Oh, aye. Trouble is it works on the plants as well. Kills every bit of greenery in sight.
Do you know of a place called the Isle of Grog?
The Isle of Grog? I certainly do. But why on earth do you want to go there?
My wife has been abducted there.
Oh, couldn't she have got it done at home?
Perhaps I'd better explain. She has vanished, and I have reason to believe that she's fallen into the hands of some extremely dangerous characters indeed.
So, Lady Gwendolyn, how do you like my private island?
It's a trifle warm.
That's only to be expected when we're standing in the world's largest greenhouse.
We must be 90 feet up, yeah?
The young plants which you see so far below us are a rare hybrid.
a species of giant mandrake, crossbred with a Venus flytrap. Soon they will grow to an immense size. Then I transfer them to the open and replace them with fresh supplies, which I am growing at sites all over the world.
Like the Chelsea Flower Show.
The immense amount of oxygen which these plants produce is gradually altering the climate. In 20 years, the Sahara will have shifted northwards and obliterated all of Western Europe. And that area, which is currently desert, will have become a rich, fertile paradise.
And what is the point of that?
The point is that over the last few years, I have surreptitiously purchased the entire Sahara Desert.
You are thoroughly wicked.
For wanting to control the Western Hemisphere?
No, for perverting the Chelsea Flower Show to your foul ambitions. Nothing could disgust me more.
Good. In that case, I will explain about these platforms. You see, these plants happen to be carnivorous, and they seem to thrive upon human flesh. Living human flesh.
How much further to the Isle of Grog, Mr. McLooney?
It's only a few minutes now. But I tell you, it's a weird place. People have been going missing.
I see. Where?
Well, if I knew where they went, they wouldn't be missing, would they?
I mean, where have they gone missing from?
Oh, from the surrounding islands. Aye, they used to be full of thriving communities. Simple folk, weaving the peat, getting the traditional fishing boats, planting the sheep, breeding pebbles.
Yes, they sound very simple.
Retarded more light. Ah, there's the island up ahead.
Good Lord, the place is like a running jungle.
I only hope I'm not too late.
Where did you find this one, Kransky? There's very little meat on him.
Let go of me, you damned ruffian.
He must have been thinking, aimlessly jumped off the shore. He was the only one that could find.
Oh, well, he'll have to suffice for my demonstration. Position him at the edge of the catwalk, Kransky. Please do watch this, Lady Gwendolyn. It really is a fascinating botanical phenomenon.
You are completely depraved.
Quite possibly. Already, Kransky?
Good. Throw him to the plant.
And now, my dear lady, I'm afraid I have some regrettable news for you. It appears that we have very nearly depopulated the surrounding islands in our efforts to find nourishment for the plants. And since you chose to spurn my earlier proposition...
You wouldn't.
I'm afraid your only attraction to me now is purely nutritional. Caesar Cranston!
That's it. We are right over the greenhouse. Now, can you land on the roof?
Land, did you see?
Yes, land on the roof.
There's a wee problem there, you see. I haven't quite devised a way of landing this thing.
What? But, well, how have you managed before?
I haven't. Didn't I mention that this was my maiden flight?
No, you didn't. But what about the rope ladder?
That's another thing. I can't take her down to less than 40 feet, otherwise she stalls.
And how long is the ladder?
10 foot.
I see. Right, Costas. Climb down the rope ladder.
Right. Well, are you sure? It's still about 30 feet short of the roof. How'll we get the rest of the way?
I'll tell you in a minute. Down you go. Go on.
Yeah, I'm going. Right. Now, that's the end of the ladder. Now what?
Now I'll climb down and hang on to your leg. Right. Like this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, right. Now what? Now you climb down me and hang on to my neck.
Right-ho. So I let go of the ladder and go!
What the blazes?
Dead. Are you all right?
Top hole, mommy. Under the search.
On your feet, gentlemen, and no funny business.
Scrub it off. Well, I'll be there.
We can't argue with that Bowser, you told him.
Quite correct, Mr. Carstairs. And I would be most grateful, Mr. Spurred, if you would slowly remove the revolver, which I know you always carry in the heel of your combinations. Hand over the Webley. Thank you.
Blast you, Stroganoff.
I thought you were killed in your blazing South American latex factory.
I probably would have been had I not mastered certain ancient Aztec techniques which reduce the body temperature to zero and provide a foolproof cure for baldness. And now, gentlemen, please walk to the edge of the platform. Get ready, Kransker.
Master.
Shame on you,
Kransker.
Any real gentleman would allow us a few final words.
Oh, how touching. Very well. Spode?
Yes, I would like to say one thing.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. McLooney, switch on the spray!
What? No! No! My plants! My beautiful plants! They're wilting!
Kransky, quickly! We must save some of the seedlings.
Very good, doctor. But what about...
Never mind them. Come on, my beautiful plants. They're dying.
Dying.
Quickly, Kransky.
Oh,
climb down the structure. Quickly.
The master, the plants will kill us.
Not if I have a decoy. You go first.
But the master, my where to go?
I told you where to go. Get down there.
But stop pushing me.
Get down there.
You're treading on my hand.
Let go of my foot. You're pulling me down.
Diary of Sir Digby Spode. And so it ended. Stroganoff and Kransky disappeared as Archie MacLooney's potent pesticidal spray reduced both them and the carnivorous plants to a glistening mulch which covered the greenhouse floor. Mr. MacLooney flew off, promising to return in his latest invention to take us off the island.
Help! What on earth is that coming through the wall?
God, no. The bottom bit seems to be made out of inflated bladders of some kind.
It's like a huge moving haggis, except for the volcano on the top. Look, someone's in it. Is that you, Mr. MacLooney?
Oh, how do you like it? A colleague of the thinkest. It travels on a cushion of air. Mind you, there are a few weak problems after I have made it. Tends to go in circles and... sometimes it goes better underwater. Get off your tires, blowing up the air cushion and the rubber bands for the motor keep breaking, but still, climb aboard and let's see where we get to. It'll be a snake grinning a dull-dong for getting a brindle wee buckle there.
The end. Don't miss the next Rogue Mail adventure, The Curse of the Yeti, coming soon on a wireless near you.